Get your Bibles out. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Let's please stand. Acts chapter 9. We'll begin reading at verse number 1 this morning. Thank you, brother. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was certain disciples at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And you know the rest of that text as he goes and he gets his eyesight back. But what I've just read to you here is the conversion and the meeting of Paul the Apostle on that Damascus road. How he met the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what I would call a defining moment. And what I'm going to preach on this morning, a little bit different than what you're used to me preaching and my type of message and my style. Nevertheless, this has been burning on my heart for months and months. And I feel like I have the green light to preach this morning. I'm going to be preaching on defining moments. And I'll explain to you what I mean by this. This was a great defining moment in the life of Paul, wouldn't you say? You and I encounter defining moments in our life. And some of them result in a good defining moment, some of them in a bad. But that's our choice. We're going to look at this here in a moment. Defining moments. Brother Josh, would you pray for this message and everybody can be seated.
Heavenly Father, God, thank you for bringing us all together this morning. Thank you, Brother Dennis Noble, for the faith of your word and this service and this ministry.
Yes,
Lord. We pray that you settle with your Holy Spirit.
Yes,
Lord.
Yep. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I have been known in the past and right now in the present to make fun of Dr. Phil. I've been known to give him a hard time, and I'm going to continue to do that, Lord willing. I do not care for these talk show hosts and TV psychologists who have a listening audience of millions of people, and they give people unbiblical and often sinful counsel about relationships and the problems of life. I just don't care for that. Amen. You shouldn't either.
Amen.
However, several years ago, I think I was at my mother and father's house. I watched an episode of Dr. Phil, but I guess I needed a little bit of humor in my life. And I watched an episode of this, and listen, no kidding. What his show was about and what he was talking about, he made a pretty profound statement that I believe he's right about. He said this is what Dr. Phil said. He said, everybody has about 10 things, give or take, more or less, that happens in that person's life that winds up defining who that person is or charting the course for that man's life. He referred to them as defining moments. Now, what is the definition of defining moments? Here are a few definitions of a defining moment. It's an event which typifies or determines all subsequent related events. It could be this, a point at which the essential character of a person is established. It's a point in your life when you're urged to make a pivotal decision or when you experience something that fundamentally changes you. Another thing, it's times when certain things happen that change our life's trajectory. It's a choice we make or a response to a difficult situation. Listen, these moments have a transformative effect on our perceptions and our behavior. These things that happen in our life help to mold us and influence in the way we look at life, the way we perceive life, and the way we behave toward life. It builds up your personality in many ways. What you are here today if you're any age at all, 40 or 50 or 60, you go back and look at your life and there's major events that's happened in your life. Listen to me now. And you've either responded correctly to them or wrongly to them. And that's why you are what you are today. That's why you're acting like you're acting today. A lot of truth in that. A lot of truth. Now, I'm going to nail that home here today. Now, we read about a major defining moment here in Paul's life, and it certainly was. And you can read about several major defining moments in the Bible about other people's life. What about Moses at the burning bush? That's a pretty defining moment, wasn't it? The three Hebrew children in the furnace. Daniel in the den of lions. David kills Goliath. David falls with Bathsheba. Yep. Samson killed the Philistine. Samson's tricked by Delilah. What about the life of Christ? His birth, that's a pretty defining moment for us. The Mount of Transfiguration. What about when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane? What about him dying on the cross and his resurrection? That's the two greatest defining moments in history. That means more to history than anything else that's ever happened. I want you to understand. Now, listen to me this morning. I want you to understand I'm not taking away from the importance of the small day-by-day routine and the small day-by-day decisions we make. They're very important. But I've come to realize the older I get, listen to me, the older I get, the way that I think, the values that I have, the goals that I have set for my life, the personality that I have in many perspectives, in many ways, that's been greatly influenced by defining moments in my life. Now listen, I'm a King James Bible-believing dispensational preacher. I'm not a motivational coach. But if a man says something that's right, I'm going to quote it, whether he's a preacher or not, whether he's lost or saved or not. Don't make it no matter to me. If he's right, he's right. Let me give you a few quotes some of these fellas say. And I want to say this. A defining moment, and I want you to understand this, a defining moment in your life can either be positive or negative. Either be positive or negative. And I'm going to give you some examples of that in a moment. Let me give you three quotes first. This is what one of these life coaches or whatever they are, they say. He says, when a defining moment comes along, you can do two things. You can define the moment or let the moment define you. That's exactly right. When that defining moment comes in your life, you can define that moment or that moment's going to define you. Another fellow says this. He says, it is not what I have been through in life that defines who I am. It's how I got through it that has made me the person I am today. Now, he should have added how I got through it with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of truth to it. I like what this fellow said. He says, we all have defining moments. It is in these moments that we find our true character. We become heroes or cowards, truth tellers or liars. We go forward or backwards. Isn't that true? Now listen, I believe hard times can do both things. I've heard people ask me before, they say, well, does hard times build character? And some people say hard times build character. And some people say, no, that's not it. Hard times just reveal your character. What do you say, Brother Dennis? I say, yes. If you go through hard times, it will actually show you what you really are. You just wait till the heat gets on, brother. You wait till the pressure hits you, and you'll see how quick you can crumble. I'm one of them. You find out what kind of character and integrity and what kind of inner strength you have when troubles come. So, yes, troubles will just expose what kind of character you have or you don't. However, if you go through hard times and you go through tough times and you respond to them correctly with the help of the Lord and grow in faith and grow in trust and grow in character, then hard times can help you grow your character. That is supposed to be a mixture of both. So I want you to think about this. You say, what are you talking about? I want to give you some more practical examples and then get to the end of this thing and tell you exactly what I want you to understand when I'm preaching this. What am I talking about when I'm talking about defining moments for a person? Well, what about salvation? Ain't that a great defining moment? The day I got saved, the worst thing I had to fear and the greatest decision I would ever make in my life, I settled it the day I got saved. Everything else is secondary. Remember that great revival? Any of you ever been in a great revival? Most of us probably haven't. Remember when the Lord swept through your church and what he did in your life and you surrendered all and other people got saved and surrendered in church and God blessed that church? Wasn't that a defining, maybe that was a defining moment in your life? What about the church split? You were in a church split and maybe that happened years ago. Some of you ain't never been the same since. You can't get over it. Now, you know what you've done? You let that church split define you instead of you defining it. You ain't going to trust no preacher. You ain't going to trust no Christian. You ain't going to get back in. You ain't going to, well, you're just going to wander here and there. You're going to die in the sorry shape you're in right now. You know why? You let that moment define you in a negative way. What about a calling of a pastor? Man, I'm glad that's the pastor I got led to the Lord up under. That's the pastor that we saw the church grow under. We saw the church do something under. Yeah, what about the dismissal of a pastor? That's a defining moment for some people. What about marriage? That's a pretty big defining moment, isn't it? It was in my life. A defining moment when I stood there at the altar and here she come, so beautiful. Another defining moment when I stood in front of the judge and we divorced. Went our separate ways. That's a defining moment. You see, they're positive and negative. Remember when you got incarcerated, they locked you up in the pokey? That was a defining moment for some of you. Some of you finally got some sense about you. Remember when you got saved in the pokey? Maybe there might be somebody here that got saved. Anybody here got saved in jail? Maybe you may not want to admit. Amen. Praise God. Yes. That was a defining moment, wasn't it, sister? Amen. Remember when your spouse you lived with for 40 or 50 or 60 years that you loved so much? You remember when they died? When you lost your spouse, that was a defining moment, wasn't it? What about when your child died? Nobody expects to die for their youngin'. You think, surely I'll outlive my youngin'. You never were the same after that, were you? It was a defining moment. But not necessarily bad. Some of you have an empathy and a compassion and a ministry that you never would have had if you hadn't lost a youngin'. Some of you, and I know some of you sitting in this church this morning, you lost a youngin' and you ain't backed up for God a bit. But I know some people, they can't make it through it. It defines them. They don't define it. And listen, I'm not even going to give you a hard time about it. Sure, I don't think you should do it. Sure, I don't think you should fall out if that happened. But I ain't never had it happen to me. How am I going to run my mouth and get upset with you when I've never had it happen to me? Maybe I'd fall out too. I hope I wouldn't, but maybe I'd fall out too. But that moment to define you. You remember the birth of your baby? Boy, that's a defining moment. Amen. And when you lost your baby, that's a defining moment. Remember that phone call in the middle of the night? And you knew at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning it couldn't be good. And you've never been the same since that phone call. That was a defining moment, wasn't it? Remember the tornado? And now that happened years ago, but now you're terrified of bad weather. You say, oh, but listen, don't worry about me. I give you, you got good doctrine if you showed up for Sunday school. You'll get some good old, if you want some good old Brother Dennis, I want him to rear back and preach. Show up tonight. Don't worry about me. I ain't going like James Dobson. But I'm preaching something you folks need to hear this morning. I've never experienced this. I know there's people in this church here this morning that's experienced it. I know there's people I've pastored in all my other churches that experienced it. But a house fire, that's a defining moment in your life. That'll change your life forever. I have no idea what it's like, but I've talked to too many people that went through it. A house fire. You say, well, you got out of life. That's somebody stupid talking. That's somebody that ain't never had all this stuff and memories burned up. You better keep your mouth shut about that. And pray for these people. Wasn't it a defining moment when the phone rang? It was the doctor. He said, the test results are back. It is, in fact, malignant. The defining moment, wasn't it? Remember when some of you fellas in here went to war? You came back, you've never been the same, have you? And then most of you fellas, you go to Vietnam, you come back and have a bunch of hippies out there in your country don't even care about you. And then you got to try to get back in the world and be a civilian again. That was a defining moment in your life, wasn't it? Never the same since. Remember when that nervous breakdown happened? Some of you said, I've never experienced a nervous breakdown. I just think if folks would just be more thankful, blah, 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 blah. You better hope you don't never have a nervous breakdown. You better keep your mouth shut about how strong you are emotionally and how strong you are mentally. And let me tell you something. God can drop something on you, buddy. Buddy, take your mind completely away. You'll be over there in a corner crying and screaming. I don't even know where you're at. Don't even know if you're really existing or not in such a fog. You better keep your mouth shut about stuff you ain't never been through. You better have mercy and compassion on these people that have. Your time's probably coming. And it is, in fact, a defining moment when you have a breakdown. Maybe it was that drunk father, and the night that you ran away from home forever, he beat you almost half to death. For some of you, it was a defining moment. You remember when you were raped? I know it's going to get all kind of uncomfortable in here, but I'm going to tell you something. Some of you can't move on until you deal with this stuff. You've let that define you, and you've been messed up ever since. I'm not going to give you a hard time, lady. I'm not going to give you a hard time at all. I don't even halfway know what you're going through. But I'm just preaching this to try to help you. Yeah. Trying to help you. That's all. That's all. I'm not telling you just don't worry about it. Don't let it bother you. How in the world could I say something like that? I'm trying to help you, though. Some of you, you worked with that company for 30 years. You gave them everything. What'd they do? They give you the pink slip. Ain't that something? Yeah. Just realize this. Probably most people in life, they don't give a rip about you. These people in this church and your family, that's who care about you.
Amen.
What about when you had a prodigal child? The day either they left or you made them leave. That'll change your life forever. Some of you say, well, I don't know what that's like. I know what it's like. Change your life forever. Children leave home. You get the empty nest syndrome. Parents are put into a nursing home. That's a life-changing moment. You're raising them, whereas they always have raised you. You're taking care of them. They used to take care of you. Permanently injured on the job, 35 or 40 years old. I've known men like that. Healthy, strong, vibrant, never can work again. Do you know what that does to a man up here? If you ain't been through it, you better think about it. Oh, you don't know what that does. That's a defining moment. Friendship ends after 50 years. You know, have you ever had something like that happen? Remember the car wreck? It changed everything. Now listen to me. I'm going to get to you why I'm preaching this. I want you to listen to me. I really want you to pay attention just for a few more minutes. Everybody in this church this morning, you need to thank God for the defining moments that have positively and eternally changed the course of your life. I'm talking about the good ones. You ought to thank God for salvation. Thank God for revival. Thank God for how when He came to you and you surrendered your life to Him. Thank the Lord for that. Those were great.
Amen.
Give God the glory. But mostly why I'm preaching this morning is you, listen to me. We need to admit, we need to come clean that who we are today physically and emotionally and spiritually is in large part in relation to how we have responded to those defining moments in our life. And you've got to be honest this morning to get any help. Everybody, please look up here and listen to me. Some of you have responded well and some of you have not. Some of you are better for going through what you've been through, and some of you are sitting in here bitter this morning. Some of you, your mind is clearer than it's ever been, and for some of you, you're thinking now that you have about God and about life in general is very distorted. Some of you, you need to repent because you're full of anger and bitterness and you're paranoid and you don't trust anybody and you're withdrawn. It's affected your marriage. It's affected your relationship with your children and it's affected your fellowship with God. And some of you right here, if you just be very honest here this morning, if you just be very honest, you're sitting here upset with God. And you've got the wrong perception of life. You've got the wrong thinking in your mind. And the reason you are what you are today is that God's letting 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 major things happen in your life. You didn't respond right. I'm not going to give you a hard time this morning. I don't know that I would either. But do you know why you look at the world and you look at God and you look at church and you look at people and why some of you are so cynical and fault-finding, and negative, and critical, and paranoid, and everybody's talking about you, and everybody's out to get you. You let this stuff define you. You haven't defined it. I know what I'm preaching to this morning. I'm starting this side and go to the back, and this side and go to the back, and this side and go to the back, and this side and go to the back. You know what? I can look at all of you, and if you were to come up and talk to me, you know, many of you know those 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, you know those defining moments that have put wind in you or taken wind out of you. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've felt it, haven't you? You know what it's done to you. And here's the thing, it has been slowly changing you for so long, you don't even realize why you're so critical. You don't even realize why you're such a fault finder. You don't even realize why you don't trust people. You don't even realize that you've withdrawn yourself now. You won't put yourself out there. You don't even realize why you think about people when you're so suspicious of them. You don't even realize why you have a distorted view of God. I can't trust him. He might not come through. He might not do what... You don't even realize that the reason you're sitting here this morning and you're full in your head and in your heart and the way that you become, we call it being set in our ways. I call it not responding to life. And listen, you go through 10 years of life and 20 years of life and 30 years of life and 40 years of life and 50, and you get up to the 60 and 70 year, and you've just had all these major things that happen in your life. You've let them define you instead of you defining them. It warps you. It warps you. You don't even have the right perception of nothing. And some of you know that I'm telling the truth this morning. You know it. And the worst thing is, the worst thing about all of it is all your wife is watching you go through this. Your children are watching you go through this. Everybody's watching you just recluse yourself more and more and more and become uninvolved and just staying away. And that way, if I become a hard shell, nobody can ever hurt me again. It ain't just destroying you, it's destroying everybody around you. And you're never going to get nothing done for God if you don't get past this. Never. And you're going to die with a warped view of God and the justice of God. Because you're always going to go to bed every night. He ain't done me right. He ain't done me right. He ain't done me right. You and I cannot control when the moments come. It often comes without warning or reason, doesn't it, church? Life is very unpredictable. But you and I can't control how that moment defines us. If you have Christ living inside of you, I'm going to tell you something this morning. You and I can take all the terrible moments of our life and allow them to make us a better Christian, not worse. Make us better. We can grow old as a sweet, gracious child of God who has strong faith in God to get through any any trouble in life. Unfortunately, many Christians, you know what you do? You get sour on God. You grow older and you get more bitter. Eventually you die and you have no joy in your life. Our understanding, you don't even have any understanding anymore of God's ability to take these bad situations and use it as a defining moment to conform you more into the image of Christ. Not to make you worse, but better. So I want to ask you this. How have you responded to the defining moments of your life? Ask yourself. You've got to be honest. You ain't going to get no help if you don't. How have you responded to the defining moments in your life? And I want to ask you this. Are you going to let these moments define you? Or are you going, with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, going to define these moments with Christian growth? It's your choice how you define the moments. And listen to me. These moments have, in fact, defined you. You're sitting in here defined by them. But some of you, I'm afraid many of you, they have not defined you in a good way. I pray this morning that God would help you, if you need to define a place at this altar or where you're sitting and you bow your head and you say, God, that preacher told the truth and some of the things he described by me is me. And I'm tired of letting my circumstances and my hard times and my problems turn me into something you never meant for me to be. You meant for all these moments, these terrible, tragic moments in my life, to define me as a strong Christian, growing in the grace and the truth and the knowledge of the Lord. Getting closer to you, not farther away. Getting better, not bitter. Growing in grace, not put out with everybody. Growing in patience, not impatient. You need to find your way here. You need to bow your head and close your eyes and say, God, forgive me where I've responded wrong. God, thank you for where I've responded right. And God, from this day forward, when you send those moments in my life, would you, Lord Jesus, who lives inside of me, help me to define the moment rather than that moment turning me into what it wants to turn me into. Let it turn you into what Christ wants it to turn you into. Every head bowed and eye closed.